Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, or you can hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura County. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme in the second hour is all business, all the time. All three of my guests will be talking about business and financial matters. My first guest is a financial guru who'll recap January 2011 in the financial markets for us. As January goes, so goes the rest of the year in the financial markets. Or at least that's the way the expression goes. We'll test that theory with my first guest. My second guest is a leader of the APLS Group, a training, consulting, and recruiting firm that specializes in organizational effectiveness. We'll discuss the 18 common mistakes that small business owners make. My third guest is a business school professor who will tell us how to keep the United States companies competitive in the global economy by delivering improved choices for customers and better economics for corporations from his latest book, Open Services Innovation. And if you want to join in the conversation at any time, you can call us at 639-0008. My regular listeners know Ken Winans for his insightful, profitable financial advice. Ken is a successful investment management entrepreneur, an award-winning author, an active philanthropist, and a renowned collector. He's the president of Winans International, an investment company, and a fund manager. He's a regular guest on various TV and radio shows, including CBS affiliate KNX 1070 right here in Los Angeles. Ken's is a business historian as well as a financial guru. In October 2009, he became senior portfolio manager for the Winans Long Short Fund, ticker symbol ETFMX, and we'll talk to him a little bit about that as time permits. He has a bachelor's degree in business economics at the University of San Diego. He has a master's in finance from the University of San Francisco. He and his wife both live up in the Bay Area. Welcome to the show, Ken. How are you doing today?
Bill, that sounds great. I'm going to have to shrink my bio. Do you have any breath left after reading that long?
It's easy enough for me to do. I just do it in sound bites, but I tell you what, you have a very distinguished career, and that's why you keep coming back on the show time and time again.
Thanks. You guys do a great job. I mean, I often hear, you know, because we always think it's not just the general audience. It's also who is podcasting this, who's hearing it in other places, and the buzz on the street is good.
Well, thank you. I'd appreciate that. That's a big compliment coming from you. But let's dive into it, because as I said at the outset, as January goes, so goes the rest of the year. That's the common wisdom in the stock market. So even though the stock market is not yet closed today, the 31st, the final day of the month of January, I think we can draw some inferences from what we see. So let's jump into the asset classes. Let's start with stocks, common stocks, and let's take a look at the Dow. The Dow started the day at 11,824, and by my recollection, that is up 2.14% for the month of January. What do we learn from this?
Well, a couple of things. You know me, I'm a numbers geek. I always believe numbers will give you the facts. And if you, you know, supposedly you're true to your statistics. I have some people who like to, you know, they'll sway statistics here and there, but just look at the basic facts. If you have a positive January in both the S&P 500 and the Dow Industrials, and you can even throw the NASDAQ in on this, even though the data on the NASDAQ obviously doesn't go, you know, past the 1970s.
Right.
But back to 1928, that's how far back I've taken this, you have an 85% probability in the S&P and an 83% probability that the average return for the year will be above 9%.
Wow. I mean,
I think that's very powerful. I think that, now that is not to say, now just keep in mind, that is not to say it's going to be a hockey stick and it's going to go straight up and there won't be any volatility. But if you are somebody who has been keeping way too much money on the sidelines because you've been listening to the Perma Bears, I'm just suggesting you might want to rethink that.
Absolutely. I mean, that is compelling information. Anybody would take an 85% probability. Think about it. If a baseball player hit 850, they'd be a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly it. And, you know, the times that it's missed, when you go back and look, okay, Ken, you know, when does this miss? Well, quite frankly, 9/11, the year of 9/11 was the last time that a positive indicator was treated negatively, and it was down 15% on the year. But again, you really can't forecast something like that. You could also turn to December 87, or certainly 1987. But again, the market had a very powerful rally before the October crash. So it's just to say that this is a good guidance, and the way that I always explain it to people is that it is where I set my biases for the year, which means I'm more inclined to buy the dips, not sell the rallies.
And there you go. We'll talk about that and your biases when we come to the long-short fund in just a couple of minutes. But let me recap the other major indices, shall we? At the start of the day, the S&P was at 1276. That was up 1.72%. And the NASDAQ was at 2687, up, worst of all three, there was up only 1.08%. So here's my question for you, Ken. Looking at the Dow at 11824 and looking at the S&P at 1276, we're approaching two magical thresholds here we have not been able to penetrate. That is Dow 12,000 and S&P 1300. Those, for some investors, are major thresholds. We break through there and it's bar the door, Hannah. We're in for a really sustainable rally. What are your thoughts on that? Is the Dow going to break through 12,000 here today or anytime in the foreseeable future and the S&P get above 1300?
I believe yes on both cases. But again, whether it does it today or tomorrow, I mean, my year-end target right now in the S&P 500 is 1362.
Wow.
So, oh, yeah, and my Dow target is 12,646. So now, keep in mind, in saying that, I still think there's a lot of people calling this a new bull market, and I think the term bull and bear markets get badly used by, you know, especially people in my industry. I do not think we're going back to the 1990s or the 1980s. Bill, I know you know this. You know, we hit on the Dow. We ended up getting up to 14,500 before things collapsed.
Yes.
The S&P 500 has a very, very tough time getting above the highs of 2000 and 2007. So I still think that we're kind of in a long-term, you know, sideways channel in the market. But even with that, can you make money by finding good stocks and good mutual funds to own in this environment? And certainly using gauges to help guide where you should be for this year, the answer is yes.
All right, Ken, I'm going to switch gears on you here for just a minute. We've been talking about common stocks. We've been talking about equities. I want to switch to the really hot area right now, and that is commodities. Let me recap. Gold at 1324. Now, that's down from its highs around 1400, but still very lofty nosebleed levels there. Oil at 88.82 a barrel. And that's important because of the conflict that we have going on right now in Egypt. U.S. dollar index at 77.75, and the VIX, the volatility index, is also up from where it was in August of last year. So all of that being said, let's talk commodities because that's where most investors have been turning their attention. Why are commodities so hot right now? Why are people focused on them?
Well, trend is your friend. And it's also, it's quite funny, usually when we're in the United States talking about commodities, in today's environment, you also have to talk about it in light of a low dollar or a dollar that has lost value relative to where things have been. Gold and silver both had these tremendous rallies last year because of the fear about where things were with Greece and certainly with the rest of Europe and certainly with the way that our government has been, for lack of a better purpose, been, you know, printing up money. Now, you can argue, and we could have a whole show on whether or not that is, in its nature, inflationary, but what it does do is you end up having a higher supply of dollars in the market relative to demand, and that causes people to draw concerns, which is why gold and silver did well. Now, what's interesting about this, and this is even with what happened in Tunisia and what's happened in Egypt, and with Egypt being the big enchilada here, gold and silver are down on the year. They're actually down right now. Gold's down 6% in the month of January. Silver's actually down 9%. Now, if you take the last 13 months, they're both up dramatically. But here's the moral of the story on commodities. Yes, you can make money in them, but I do not believe that they are a buy-and-hold type of situation. People who are very adept at trading commodities know this. They know there's a time to get out of them. And I know that last year, I caught a lot of criticism when I brought up that I don't view gold and silver as buy-and-hold. History has shown that they do not hold up well over the long term. They're great now. They've been great for the last 10 years. But again, I don't believe in just holding something and turning your back on it. So commodities, there are certainly some good ETFs out there that people could buy. One is DBC, or the symbol DBC, which is a basket of commodities. It's been around longer than some of the other exchange-traded funds. You could look at those. And as far as buying gold and silver, I would still recommend, if you're going to have positions in these things, own the ETFs. They're liquid. They're cost-effective. They're a great way to own the metals. So GLD is the symbol on the gold trust. SLV is the symbol for the silver trust. If you want to do it, don't necessarily start hoarding it in your house. I just think that the cost and the insurance cost itself will make that problematic.
All right. We're talking to Ken Winans, CEO of Winans International. We're talking about financial performance so far in the month of January this year. And Ken, you touched upon something to me that is counterintuitive, and I want you to help me to understand this and help my listeners to understand it as well. And that is, with all of the turmoil that's going on in Tunisia and now in Egypt, and with gold and silver being the a safe haven that a lot of investors will run to when there is turmoil in the world, how come gold and silver are both down with so much turmoil going on in Egypt, which is one of the biggest stock markets in the Middle East?
Yeah, it's true. Well, remember, they're up. They are up today. I mean, both those metals are having these knee-jerk rallies. And in fact, gold, I actually, for people who want to buy a position in it, the fact that it's basically, you're looking at a 7% off of its high, silver's 10% off of its of these record highs. You could, you know, like I said before, buy the dips. But I think that what it is more than anything is that if you were going to have a panic in Egypt, we actually had the perfect time to do that. And what I mean is, here we had all these earnings reports coming out. The news is generally looking pretty good. The State of the Union address is gone. The Federal Reserve's announcements are done. So the focus was on generally positive news. So when this hit, it wouldn't have had the same impact it would have, like certainly Greece did last year, where there was still a real question mark on whether or not we were still in a recession. So I think it was the timing, and that's why gold is down, is that people are still moving money into equities and other types of things that are showing economic footings.
All right. We're talking to Ken Winans, CEO of Winans International. And Ken, you mildly understated it when you said that earnings are good. Exxon just came out today. They had strong sales growth, so their stock was up when I left the office today. The blended earnings growth for the S&P 500 for the fourth quarter of 2010, which combines the actual numbers for companies that reported and estimates for companies to report here coming shortly, the blended average is up 35.5%.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's huge news. That's beyond good news. That would be ecstatic news. So what does this mean, or what does this tell us for the financial markets?
Well, the economy, at least on a case-by-case basis, you know, the old adage, it's not really a stock market, Bill. It's a market for stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to look at individual areas. Like, I mean, certainly, we could find some negative news. The banking section is still very problematic. Citibank had some problems. Projections for Wells Fargo this year are okay but not great. So you can certainly find some red. But with that being said, as you just said, if you are thinking this is going to be a commodity bull market for a while, and oil is obviously the one universal commodity that everybody needs besides water and food, you can make a case that owning oil stocks is a great way to, in the second degree, owning commodities. And as you said, the oil companies are on a run right now, not only the major U.S. oil companies, but certainly a lot of the stocks that are Canadian companies that trade in the United States.
All right, well said. Now, coming out of any recession, consumer spending leads recovery. So when are we going to start to see consumer spending pick up, Ken?
Well, this is the thing. It's to what degree do you want to call this a strong recovery? I've been asked this question numerous times, and I'm going to just put it very simply. I do not think you're going to have a 1990-style economic boom until you put the construction workers back to work. We have a situation in it in many, many ways is similar to the 1970s, meaning that it was a jobless recovery. Back then it was the Rust Belt, as we used to call it, meaning that the old manufacturing base, the heavy industries, are losing out to Japan and other countries. Today, the construction thing is problematic because, again, I don't think anybody really thinks housing is going to turn around in 2011. There's just too much inventory out there. There's too much stuff out there that already exists to put new construction guys in a lump sum back to work. There lies a big part of California's problem. So with that being said, will we see Silicon Valley have a good boom this year and, let's say, Riverside County continue to have problems? Yes, you'll have that kind of lopsided economic growth. But again, until that happens, and then let's not forget, I'm sure we're going to talk about it here in a bit, my number one focus this year is the state of municipalities. I am concerned, if you let's take a company, let's take Scotts Miracle-Gro, which is one of my favorite companies. They make a lot of gardening-type products and all that.
Right.
What if you have the city of San Diego file bankruptcy, and they cancel all orders on anything that's grass at any of their buildings in the county or the city?
That would be devastating.
Well, here's the thing is we all like to talk about, well, the good riddance. Let these cities and counties in California who made these ridiculous pension payouts, let them just go down in flames. The problem is that it will affect the private sector because of those contracts. Ask anybody in the state of Illinois right now who's not been paid in 6 months. These are companies. These are shareholders that they have to answer to. So that's the one of everything that's been discussed about. I don't think it's Egypt. I think it's the state of California and it's the other states and all the cities and counties within them that's going to determine how fast we come out of this thing.
Well, Ken, I completely agree with you, and that's a topic for another show. I will have you back to discuss it because that is truly the 700-pound gorilla that nobody wants to face up to. But before I let you go, Ken Winans, who is the CEO of Winans International, tell me about the Winans Long Short Fund stock symbol ticker ETFMX. How are you doing so far this year?
Well, this year we're having a good year. Here's the thing. It's kind of funny. Like all companies, we have different product lines, and last year ETFMX was the one product line that we had that didn't do well. Hey, you might be shocked to hear this, Bill, but my average stock portfolio in our separate managed accounts was up over 14% last year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and our bond accounts, our income accounts, I should say, were up 10.8. So we had a good year overall, but our fund that was designed to be long short, meaning short or long, depending on what it is, we ended up getting nipped up pretty good earlier in the year, just really chopped up bad, ended the year on a strong note. But this year, last time I looked, I believe it was up about 1.8%. And right now, as I said, we're long right now. In fact, depending on what happens going forward, we might actually even consider using a little bit of margin in the fund because I think things could be strong as we come out of earnings season.
Wow. Well, Ken, we're going to have you back at the end of the quarter so we can talk a little bit more about that. We've been talking to Ken Winans, everybody, CEO of Winans International. Now, Ken, you're talking very common sense things here. If people are interested in what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
You know, a couple of things. If you want the books and all the other stuff about me, go to kenwinans.com, which is W-I-N-A-N-S. For information just on my company, go to Winans, I-N-T-L, so that's W-I-N-A-N-S-I-N-T-L.com. And that will give you all the track records and the services and all the other stuff that we do.
Ken, it's always a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, Bill. Take care.